first order of business is a call of the roll. Mr. Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisor Alexander. Alexander.
Present.
Cullen.
Here.
Dmitrievich.
Here.
Haas.
Here.
Johnson Jr.
Here.
Logsdon.
Here.
Martin.
Present.
Moamakunde.
Here.
Nicholson.
Here.
Ortiz Velez.
Present.
Schmidt.
Here.
Sebring.
Here.
Shea.
Here.
Steskunis.
Here.
Taylor.
Present.
Wasserman.
Here.
Weishaun Jr.
Here.
Mr. Chairman.
Here. A quorum is present. I'd invite members and our guests to please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Flag is to my left, your right. Pledge of Allegiance will be followed by a brief moment of silence. This last week, our country has witnessed horrific consequences of hate on the basis of race, religion, and political views. We dedicate this moment of silence today to the victims of violence in Kentucky and Pennsylvania. And I stand in solidarity with my neighbors and many community members who are gathered across town this evening as a result of most recent violence. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is files referred to standing committees.
All right, I have a few comments first. So, all right, we thank the public for joining us tonight, today, and we start tonight's board meeting with some comments about these proceedings. The board must first take up a few items of business before we begin the public hearing portion. On tonight's agenda is a proposal I put forward that presses the state to deliver a fair deal for Milwaukee. We're at a critical juncture where we need the state to commit to delivering Milwaukee County its fair share of resources, so we at the local level can provide services that our residents need and want, from transportation to parks to public safety. There was a public meeting on the fair deal proposal at the start of this month where the Committee of the Whole unanimously voted in favor of this initiative. If the board adopts the legislation, we'll take a few minutes to complete final action on file 8751, which is number 4 on tonight's agenda. County Executive Abley and I will sign the legislation putting the fair deal into effect immediately. All right. Next is files referred to standing committees. We're on item 1, which is file number 18-3. Supervisor Nicholson moves that the October 2018 listing of files referred to standing committees be received and placed on file. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The October listing of files referred to standing committees is received and placed on file.
Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is correction and approval of the Journal of Proceedings from the September 20th, 2018 meeting.
All right. We're now on correction and approval of the Journal of Proceedings, item 2, file number 18-4. All those in favor of adopting the Journal of Proceedings say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The September 20th, 2018 Journal of Proceedings is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is unfinished business.
This is file number 18-633. Supervisor Nicholson asks unanimous consent for item 3 to be laid over to the County Board meeting on Thursday, November 1st, 2018. Hearing no objection to the layover, it is so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is resolutions and ordinances by and from standing committees, Committee of the Whole.
All right, this is item 4. This is file number 18-751. Would you read the title, please?
File number 18-751, a resolution establishing the Fair Deal for Milwaukee County Work Group to identify and propose options for enhancing the long-term fiscal stability of Milwaukee County, enhance public services, and increase state funding of mandated services. This item was recommended for adoption 18-0 at your committee meeting.
All right, and I believe there's the materials are outside. If anyone hasn't already seen this, there are materials on this outside. It's been discussed extensively in the Committee of the Whole, where all members had time for debate. Seeing no one signaling me to speak tonight, Mr. Clerk, please call the roll on the item.
Question is adoption. Supervisor Alexander.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson Jr.
Aye.
Logsdon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Moamakunde.
Aye.
Nicholson.
Aye.
Ortiz Velez.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Sebring.
Aye.
Shea.
Aye.
Steskunas.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Wasserman.
Aye.
Weishaun Jr.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
18 ayes, 0 noes.
18 ayes, 0 noes. The Fair Deal legislation has been adopted unanimously. I thank my colleagues for the support on this, and we're going to take a moment, and the county executive has offered to come and sign this with me this evening. This is quite a historic thing. I don't recall this ever happening, that any legislation moved that fast, and that we've had that kind of collaboration. So I want to call that out and recognize that, particularly for many of you who've been here year after year. You know how big a deal this is in contrast to previous years and what you've seen then. So we're going to just take a moment, and we'll be back to our regular program. All right. Thank you for your patience on that. So we're now in the public hearing portion of the evening, and I'd ask County Clerk Christensen to provide a brief overview of how tonight's public hearing on the county budget will proceed. Mr. Clerk?
Good evening. I'm Milwaukee County Clerk George Christensen. I'd like to start off by thanking the Office of Persons with Disabilities for coordinating our sign language interpreters here this evening. If you'd like to speak regarding the County Executive's 2019 recommended budget this evening, please fill out a blue public comment card located at the welcome table and make sure you've checked off the box indicating you wish to speak, and then return the card to one of our staff. If you need a card, please raise your hand and staff will bring you one. We have two microphones for the public to speak. I'll call two names at a time. Please approach the microphones, either one, and you will have 2 minutes to speak. Please be brief, and please keep your comments limited to the budget and directed to the chairman of the county board. My staff person sitting here next to me will hold up a sign to let you know when you have 1 minute left, and then again when you have 30 seconds left, and then you'll see a big stop sign. And then we ask you to please conclude your remarks at that moment. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is the public hearing.
All right. We'll now start the public hearing on the county budget. We're here to listen to you. And since it's not a debate, supervisors will not answer questions tonight. However, you're certainly welcome to follow up with any of us. We provide contact sheets for each of the 18 supervisory districts at the front table. Please feel free to call or email any of your district offices. We'll hear from the county executive first, who's requested an opportunity to briefly address this body and the public on his budget recommendations. County Executive Abley, please approach the microphone. And Ms. All right.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
And then, Mr. Clerk, if you would then call the names of the first two speakers so they can begin to queue up as well.
So, of course, first we have Chris Abley, then Trevor Hine, and then Evan Douglas.
Thank you. Mr. Executive?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the board, I did, for the record, fill out a card to speak.
Yes.
I don't want to waste people's time here. I know it's valuable time, and what is, as the chairman said, what's important is that you're here to share your opinion. But I wanted to go on the record to say that in the now almost 8 years I've been at the county, the collaboration in this budget process has been better than it has ever been. And I want to thank everybody sitting at this panel for that, in particular the chair for his support of just let's lean into this really early, and also Supervisor Schmidt, who is the chair of finance. And for those of you who don't know, Supervisor Schmidt sat through months and months of budget hearings all year, and as we put together our process, the idea being that we wanted to have as much clarity and transparency about the numbers we were making decisions about and be able to address concerns as they came up early. And as the chairman noted earlier, that has got to be an all-time record in the history of Milwaukee County for the fastest time between the voted approval of a resolution and it being enacted into law. I mean, that couldn't have been more than about 60 seconds. So we'll just lay that down for future generations as a bar to hit. But I'm looking forward to a lot of the same. And then finally, I also want to thank the chair and the board for this resolution. To everybody who's here and everybody who's on this panel, all of us have done many budget hearings, and one thing that is the predominant theme is people like you come to advocate for support for services, and you're not wrong, you're right. That's just it, you're right. And every year, we have to answer those questions, the board and my office, in the context of a budget that for 8 years has meant we're getting a lot less from the state. In the 8 years I've been in office, we've had to make almost $250 million worth of cuts. So in addition to everything that you should advocate for here, the single best way you can help us help all of you is help us take the message to the state that we all need a better deal. It isn't us versus the state. We want to see the state do well, too. But when we're sending about $400 million a year more, you are, Milwaukee County, to the state than we were 10 years ago, and we're getting back something that is essentially flat or in some cases less, you don't need to be an economist to know that's not a fair deal and it won't work. So, again, thank you to the chair, Supervisor Schmidt, and everyone up here for, again, what I hope is just the beginning of a beautiful relationship. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Trevor Hine.
I'm going to stop talking, but I just want to remark on the for all of you here, this really was a big move together, and if you don't tell somebody what happened, no one will know because media ignored us. So if the county board and the county executive are getting along, and if we're working together, apparently that's not newsworthy. I've never in my time seen the media not show up for one of these hearings. That's shameful. So, all right.
Thank you. Well, thank you, and thank you for taking the time to hear us out. I appreciate it, so thanks. I'm here speaking on behalf of equitable access to opportunity, particularly when it pertains to mass transit in the form of job lines, busing, and in the form of the Go Pass, which allows senior citizens and disabled residents to ride our buses for reduced fares, which are going to be doubling from $1 to $2, according to this budget coming up. And I just want to make sure that we all remember that people need these buses. They service communities that otherwise people wouldn't have access to. And it's really important that we allow people to go and pursue opportunities outside of Milwaukee County, and people should have the means to do so. And in order for that to happen, we need to fund our mass transit, particularly the jobs line buses, and we need to make sure that the people that need that transit most have access to it. Thank you.
We have Evan Douglas, followed by Nick Seidler. Evan Douglas, Nick Seidler.
I'm back. If you don't remember me from the previous years, I'm Evan Douglas, the president of the MSOE Disc Golf Club. And this year, we actually saw that the amendment, which states funds from disc golf goes back into disc golf was already placed in the budget. So we're simply here to ask, or to say thank you and ask for your continued support in this amendment. It means a lot to us and every other disc golfer in the Milwaukee disc golf community. Thank you.
Okay, Nick Seidler, followed by Jim Gondler.
Hello, my name is Nick Seidler. I'm the advisor to the MSU Disc Golf Club. Evan, who just spoke, is one of my students. I also want to thank the county board and, of course, the Milwaukee County Park System for including the disc golf provision in the parks budget. So thank you, supervisors, for supporting that. Thank you, Milwaukee County Parks, for being proactive and including that. Makes everybody's job easier when we don't have to work as much. So thank you for that. I also want to give a big shout-out to the supervisor, all of the supervisors, and also the executive for being here. I am proud that you guys passed that legislation in 60 seconds. Well done. Thank you.
Okay, Jim Gondley, followed by Jerry Broderick.
Hi, my name is Jim Gooley. I'm president of Preserver Parks. Prior to that, I was with the Park People for a number of years. Prior to that, I was with the Milwaukee County Parks. A lot of new faces on the board, but those of you who have been on the board for the length of time know that it's my yearly antic to come and stamp my feet and scream at the top of my lungs about the travesty of funding for parks in that current budget. I am so pleased that I don't have to do that this year. Thank you. Thank you, County Executive. Thank you, Board. We have a positive county parks budget this year. But I would be remiss not to mention a few facts before I sit down. 35 years ago, the parks budget was $42 million. This year, it's $35. If the parks budget had kept pace with inflation, it'd be over $102 million right now. The ramification of that is full-time park workers now number about 200, down from 765 in 1983. I will bring it up, even though you're acutely aware of it. The estimated cost for deferred park maintenance is somewhere between $200 and $300 million, which has to be addressed. One of the ways that our parks has been able to keep their head above water is that they're doing more in raising internal revenue. So 35 years ago, internal revenue was about 16% of the total parks budget. Today, it's nearly 64%. I think we've probably ended the tap on earned revenue. Parks received $31 million in property tax support in 1986, 35 years ago. Today, it receives $12 million. Fortunately, that's going up for next year. 35 years ago, the property tax levy for our parks was nearly 29% of the total county budget. Today, it's 4.7%. And here's a really interesting fact. While the parks budget has shrunk since the mid-80s, the county budget as a whole has nearly doubled from $575 million to $1.15 billion. Those are some simple facts. Although we do have a good parks budget this year, I got to stop. We need dedicated long-term funding. Thank you.
Okay, Jerry Broderick, followed by Pat Jersick.
Thank you very much. Those of you who I served with during my nearly 14 years on the county board remember clearly the efforts to secure a healthy future for the county park system that we all worked on, and how each year, despite our best efforts, we were forced to watch the nightmare of ever-increasing deferred maintenance grow. It's not that we failed to offer solutions. In fact, we did. Among them, a referendum that we put on the ballot to fund our parks and transit systems with an increased sales tax. And you'll recall the voters approved it at the ballot box. Only to have the state government ignore the public's demand in favor of currying further support from special interests who had their own ideas about how to spend our tax dollars. If state government had chosen to be responsive to our county's expressed desires back in 2008, we would not be facing the degree of struggle that we face today in funding our parks. For that matter, had the state over the past decade been less obsessed with cutting taxes to unrealistically low levels and instead had maintained our infrastructure while allowing for more equitable distribution of shared revenue dollars, we'd be in much better shape to confront the painful choices that we all know lie ahead. We ask only that when you make these choices, you consider the priority that our citizens have clearly and consistently asked of you. And that is simply to provide a dedicated and sustainable source of funding for our parks. Frankly, and I believe I speak for the vast majority of those across the county who have my mobile phones ringing, don't count that against my time. That's my son, he wants me to babysit again. Frankly, and I believe I speak, as I said, for the vast majority of those voters across the county who have signed the petitions, nearly 2,800 signatures that we're presenting you tonight, we are weary of witnessing our tax dollars being used to fund private for-profit entertainment venues while our public parks continue to suffer from benign neglect that I think we all see. We are weary of hearing of the effective park funding solutions being implemented across the nation while we watch our once vaunted park system deteriorate. And we are especially weary of the inequitable allotment of state-shared revenue dollars that serves to inhibit our ability to sustain an acceptable quality of life in Milwaukee County. And that's a complaint made by both liberals and conservatives. That said, we're appreciative and encouraged by the board and the executive offices having established tonight, by that vote, the Fair Deal Work Group aimed at addressing the state on these very disparities. Know that Preserve Our Parks is committed to assist those efforts in every way possible, because we believe it is finally the public's turn to be heard and to be heeded. Thank you.
Okay. Pat Jurczyk, followed by Bill Lynch.
What a privilege to talk after Jerry Broderick. I'm Pat Jurczyk. I'm here on behalf of Preserve Our Parks. I want to thank the board. I want the public to know this board is the last line of defense for public parks. A month doesn't go by when I don't see some developer talking about development in parks because it's land that's still available. And public parks are so important for all of us. Green space, clean air, clean water, recreation, the Oak Leaf Trail, which is, by the way, the most used and most attended sporting facility in Milwaukee, more than Miller Park and more than First Serve. And we, Preserve Our Parks, conducted an our-turn drive this summer, collecting petitions. A few volunteers, those of us on Preserve Our Park, did town hall meetings all over this county. 25, 50 people showed up, but they're passionate. We did this without any media, and I'm shocked that the county board, for a public hearing on the budget, has no news coverage. But we saw that all summer. We had press releases, we had town hall meetings, never any media coverage. I'm proud to tell you we have 2,800 signatures to file tonight at this public hearing to make this a part of your public record. But we're not going to stop there. We want stable, secure, sustainable, dedicated funding for our parks. Your citizens in Milwaukee County demand that. I have never seen a petition that's been easier to get signatures for. The few of us that were able to go out and meet, we'd ask people to sign. I can count on one hand how many people said no. And most people said, give me some of those petitions. I'm going to help you. And by the way, to the public that's here, we have more petitions in the back right next to those green plants that are sitting there. Mm-hmm. We want to help you with your fair share. Thank you so much for doing that. POP wants to be right behind you as you go to the state to demand a fair share of financing, because we're losing the quality of life in our county that parks represent. And that quality of life is being stolen by state legislators who are not giving us a fair share of the revenue that they collect from right here in Milwaukee County. So we need to demand that. We're going to continue collecting signatures. We support you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want you to know your citizens love the parks. We found that out doing this petition drive just last Saturday. We were at St. Matthew Church on 8th and Locust. and we collected over 50 signatures just at that one short Saturday meeting. So people do support us, and we're here to represent them, file the petitions, and then support you. Thank you for doing your our fair share committee, and we'd like you to suggest that perhaps a member of POP could serve on that and work with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Will Interim. Thank you. Okay, Bill Lynch, followed by William Lynch. Did you
the
sign
same.
Two cards?
I'm Bill Lynch. I'm speaking also in support of the efforts by Preserve Our Parks and the people throughout this county to make sure that we have a stable funding source for our parks that is adequate and equitable. And this, the parks are for everybody in this county. They aren't just for the privileged and the elite. They are one of the assets of the county that provides benefit for every single citizen of all, in all parts of our community. They also, unfortunately, are not a state-mandated service, so they are also very vulnerable, like the transportation system, to budget pressures that you face as county supervisors. We need to get together and work together to change that situation so that this county and other counties can provide the opportunity to enjoy the wealth of nature, even if they can't afford a place up north. It's especially important for the people whose place up north might be Brown Deer Park. So I urge you to continue the efforts to get more equitable funding. I think it's very important for that funding to be not just better shared revenue responses, but a broader range of options for the county to raise funds to supplement that. We certainly shouldn't take the pressure off shared revenue. That's a matter of fairness, but we should also open up the possibilities for other streams of revenue besides a transit, license fee or the property tax. Thank you.
Okay, Peter Zange, followed by Tim Bach. Peter Zange, followed by Tim Bach.
Hi, my name is Peter Zange. I'm president of the Milwaukee Preservation Alliance and here representing the Save Our Domes Coalition. So the goal of the Save Our Domes Coalition is to create a unified voice advocating with a consistent message and to provide a platform for people and organizations to get involved in saving the domes. Our vision is that all three domes are rehabbed and reused as a community resource with programming and sustainable financial operations. We support proposals that do not demolish one or more of the domes, but instead reinvest in the domes and fully realize the extraordinary asset they could become. New and expanded uses that ensure the domes remain relevant to the new generations of residents should be compatible with the core mission of the conservatory. We are appreciative of the amendment introduced by Supervisor Marina Dmitrievich asking the county board to create a study committee comprised of county officials that would look at co-locating the Milwaukee Public Museum and domes at Mitchell Park. We value the county board's continued focus on the future of the Mitchell Park domes, a beloved local landmark and a nationally significant historic place. As this process moves forward, we encourage this committee to work as closely as possible with the domes task force, as well as seeking input and engagement from the community. As this amendment is discussed, we want to remind the supervisors that whether at public meetings or through online surveys, the public has repeatedly voiced their support for protecting the domes from disinvestment, destruction, and demolition. For example, during the Phase 2 work done by the Domes Task Force, 67% of more than 2,300 respondents preferred reinvesting in all three domes. We are confident that as this conversation progresses, rehabilitation will be shown as the most cost-effective and positive outcome for the Mitchell Park domes. Save Our Domes is eager to be a resource throughout this process, and we look forward to working together to build a successful and vibrant future for this iconic landmark. Thank you.
Okay, Tim Bach, followed by Linda Wright.
Good evening. On behalf of Pathfinders, the Shelter Task Force in Milwaukee County's continuum of care for homeless services and ending homelessness in our community, let me also express my appreciation for the level of cooperation and collaboration that's been evidenced between you as a county board and the county exec and his staff. I have appeared before the county board for many years now. This is really the first time I've been given the opportunity to witness that, and I just want to thank you and applaud you for the effort in doing so. Let me also thank you, the county board, for your continued investment, particularly with regard to the Department of Health and Human Services, and more specifically the investments in the Behavioral Health Division and its efforts to expand, in particular, comprehensive community services, as well as the Housing Division and its efforts to end homelessness, to reduce the level of eviction in our community, and to provide emergency and critical shelter services on behalf of our homeless citizens. If there's one element that I would ask you to reconsider as part of the budget, would be the cuts to various transit routes, as well as the fare increases for the Go Pass and the Freedom Pass. It may not seem like a significant increase going from $1 to $2 per fare for the Go Pass and the Freedom Pass, but given that those are critical resources for some of our most vulnerable citizens in our community, I would ask that you reconsider and keep the Go Pass and Freedom Pass at $1 per fare. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, Linda Wright, followed by Gordon Scarry.
My name is Linda Wright, and I am representing the I'm going to represent the UWM Extension Program called FitWise. It's one of the programs that came into my neighborhood and came into the senior building that I live in. I want to put a face to that image of what would you say senior and everything that happened. In 2016, I was told that I had cancer. And fortunately for me, I was blessed and I came through the surgery, but they don't tell you what else happens to you. You lose focus, you lose your balance, and you're unable to do the things that you used to do. The FitWise program provided me with a teacher that challenged me and kept talking about my abilities and that I needed to step up. I began to step up. It gave me focus, and it allowed me to be a part of the community again. I also think that it's a good program because of all the things that it does for all of us. It gave us friends to talk to in support of the program. It gave us the things that we need in order to continue our lives. I thank you for supporting us from before, and please support us again, because this program works.
Okay. Gordon Scarry, followed by Layla Moore.
Good evening. My name is Gordon Scarry. I'm a lifelong City of Milwaukee resident, and I'm here tonight to speak about the bus rapid transit system that's proposed. My interest is based upon where I live, which is in the Bluemont Heights neighborhood area of the City of Milwaukee, which is bounded by Holly Road to 76th from Blue Mound down to I-94. As reported in the newspaper last week, the county's portion of the BRT would be roughly $14 million, which is an unnecessary sum of money to be spent on this proposed BRT. My reasons for stating this is that there is a current route, the Gold Line, which could be modified to satisfy the intended BRT route that is planned. There is no need to spend that entire sum of money on a route to travel along Blue Mound Road only while the Gold Line operates on Wisconsin Avenue a few blocks north. The Blue Mound Heights Association, Neighborhood Association, which I'm a member of, was successful along with the Story Hill Neighborhood Association in lobbying our City of Milwaukee Alderman Murphy to eliminate the lane-specific usage of the BRT in the City of Milwaukee. This was intended to make it so that the people who travel Blue Mound Road regularly, such as I do on a daily basis, don't have to be concerned of driving on a one-lane road. Now, mind you, I'm not speaking for the Blue Mound Heights Neighborhood Association. I am speaking for myself, but when it comes to our quarterly meetings that occur There isn't a single person who attends that meeting that supports this BRT as planned. Now, please also don't misunderstand. I'm also for mass transit. I think it's important and I think it's necessary. However, I think the county's intent of acquiring this BRT is predicated on getting federal money, which the county executive, I think, is intending to basically buy buses. But all you're going to do is duplicate what is already in existence. Other than west of Holly Road, the goal line goes along Blue Mound, Wisconsin Avenue, and all the BRT would do would be go along Blue Mound Road. So what are you kidding? Modify the goal line on the east end a little bit, and on the west end keep it the way it is. It'll have just fewer stops, basically, and it's unnecessary to be able to have to install special ticketing machines where they really don't need to have it, any specific bus shelters that are dedicated for just the BRT. And I would hope that the county board would have some logic. I love the idea of getting these new buses that are proposed for energy efficiency and that. And so it's something where I'm not against the BRT. I'm just against the route, and I would hope the county board would look at it on a logical basis. Thank you.
Layla Moore, followed by Steve Kroll.
Good evening. My name is Layla Moore, and I'm a resident here in Milwaukee. I wanted to let you know how important and how thankful that I am that we have the UWM Extension Program in our building. I live at Lampham Park, and there's almost 200 people, seniors, in that one building. And since they have came there, they have just opened up a lot of doors for us. As you know, the epiloid things is out there, so they're not distributing the pills to us seniors. Now the thing is for us to exercise, which they should have been doing it in the first place. But now since we know better, with this program is helping us now. We can be able to get out, mingle, you know, do things that we haven't been able to do by being able to move our joints. This program is wonderful. And I want to thank each and every last one of you for making it possible. God bless you.
Steve Kroll, followed by James Macon.
My name is Steve Kroll. I'm a resident of Supervisor Haas's district, and I'm president of AFSCME Local 1654, which represents Milwaukee County's administrative and clerical employees. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the work that the county executive and the county board have done for the 2019 budget. This was no small task thus far. I know there's still work to be done. But I wanted to say that it's important to note that some things really don't need to be maintained into the new year, and I'm not talking about the issues that grab the headlines like parks and transit and mental health, but I'm talking about the continuing lack of dialogue between Milwaukee County as an employer and its employees. About 8 years ago, the county acted to dissolve a dispute resolution process that had existed for decades that assured public service workers that employment decisions would be fair and unbiased, and that unjust or unfair actions would be exposed and overturned. I'm speaking tonight to remind our county leadership that employees are still waiting for a fair replacement after 8 years. Every 2 years, Milwaukee County has decided to ask its employees to complete a survey and repeatedly says that it values employee input and the work that public service workers do. Fact is that employee opinion should be gathered as issues arise, not 2 years later. When employees suffer unfair employment decisions, we all suffer. When employees are forced to sue Milwaukee County over on-the-job issues, we all suffer. When employees are forced to contact regulators to file complaints of discrimination, we all suffer. We suffer in terms of time, talent, and treasure, all of which are valuable resources. I'm asking your honorable body to include in the 2019 budget a provision to establish a work group to include representatives of labor charged with the responsibility to draft a viable, impartial, and efficient dispute resolution process surrounding unreasonable working conditions, abuses of managerial authority, and the appeal of unjust disciplinary actions. Not only will this enable employees to work with the county to improve working conditions, efficiency, and employee morale, but quite frankly, it's a process that promotes good, clean, and responsive government. Thank you.
James Macon, followed by Barbara Farr.
Thank you, Supervisor, for everything you have tried to do. Unfortunately, we back here again fighting, talking about budget for transportation. We should not have to be doing that since there is a transportation fund in the state that not really, you know, being used for public transportation. Like the gentleman said earlier, I have never been a fan of the BRT. The reason I haven't been a fan of the BRT because routes are being cut going to jobs. We keep talking about jobs, but there's no transportation to get the jobs, and that's ridiculous. Also, my concern is, what is MCTS doing with the money that the county board gives them? As the president of the union, I keep up with their budget much that I can. In September, the Transportation Committee granted them $14 million. What happened to that money? Also, as I know, that Milwaukee County Transit gave back $2 million back to the county. What happened to that money? Why that money couldn't have been used for the 61 or the 6? There's a lot of concerns about how money is being used in MCTS that should be audited of their way they handle their money. We need that 61 and 6 to keep going. Right now, Milwaukee County Transit says that they only worry about Milwaukee County people. Well, these are Milwaukee County people that are actually going out there that's looking for work. And if they lose their jobs out there, they'd be unemployed. A lot of people go out in these areas because these are the higher paid jobs. Dan Bain made a statement, well, downtown, what's downtown? Where's the jobs downtown? Most of the jobs are outside the Milwaukee area. So we need to start making sure that these buses keep running out to these jobs. So if you can, do what you can to keep this route. And if you can't, the 79 Flyer should be something you look at, or the 276 is actually on Brown Deer Road that could go up to Menominee Falls. So there is options that could be used. 79 Flyer is actually being paid by Menominee Falls, from what I understand, to get their people into Milwaukee. It's kind of funny that everybody wants to pay to come into Milwaukee, but they don't want nobody going out to their area. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is make them pay for some of this service or start fining them for coming into our city. You know, and that's not fair. I remember when I started with the bus company, we had to pay his own fare to go out to Brookfield. Well, start making them pay his own fare. Thank you.
Barbara Farr, followed by Karen Rutger.
My name is Barbara Farr. I live in St. Francis, and I'm a member of MICA and MICA's Transit Task Force. I'm also a Catholic nun. Our mother house is in Elm Grove, right over the county line on Watertown Plank Road. I have 150 sick and retired sisters there. They're served by about 50 housekeepers, food service workers, caretakers, the majority of whom live in Milwaukee. The caretakers live in Milwaukee, and the majority of whom can't get to work. We have a very hard time keeping staff because they can't get out to work. Sometimes the sisters eat off paper plates because the food service people didn't get in to wash the plates from the previous meal. That's not so bad. But when Sister Gilda doesn't get her bath because her caretaker didn't come in, that's bad. So I support the job lines. We need the job lines. We need the BRT. Further, we need regional transit authorities. Because of being in Elm Grove, I also belong to SOFIA and SOFIA's Transit Task Force. And we have had dozens of meetings with Waukesha County supervisors and public officials talking about the need for job lines. And they all say, yes, transit is important. We really need these workers out here in Waukesha County, and it's a big problem. But nobody's talking to each other, and they're not talking about doing a regional transit authority, which would be the mechanism that would allow you to talk together and would allow you to have a funding source. So I support the job lines, and I appreciate your efforts to make that keep that open. I support the four new electric buses. That's great, as well as BRT. And then you also have to start working on regional transit authorities. Thank you.
Karen Rutger, followed by Jennifer Stinson.
Hi, I'm Karen Rutger. Personally, I just want to thank the chair and the board for the moment of silence against hate. I appreciated that. I am a Milwaukee County resident and a decades-long bus rider, but I'm also here today as an attorney for the ACLU of Wisconsin. My clients are the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin and Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope. These are the clients who sued the state and sued the federal government, and we negotiated the settlement that brought $11.5 million to this county for bus service to the suburbs. For bus service specifically, and the lawsuit was brought specifically to take Central City workers who are disproportionately transit-dependent, clearly disproportionately people of color, and get them access to jobs in suburban communities. The job lines have done that, in particular the Route 61. Y'all see the gumballs in front of you. That's about the number of riders per day who are using the 61, about 900 riders per day. And that route goes out to Menominee Falls. I understand that there are all these political concerns about who's paying for what or who's benefiting from what, but really, who is benefiting from the job lines? Most of all, it is Milwaukee County residents, Milwaukee County taxpayers, Milwaukee County workers. We need to find a way to keep those routes going because our community depends on it and our workers depend on it. I understand there are some tweaks maybe being discussed, that's great, but we need to keep it going, and I ask the board to keep that route going, especially the 61 to Menominee Falls. Thank you.
Jennifer Stinson. Jennifer Stinson, followed by Patricia McManus.
Good evening. I work for Milwaukee County, specifically for the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, specifically as a correctional officer. I'm asking the board to consider we had a budget of $500,000, or you had a budget of $500,000 for raises for correctional officers that I believe has been put to the side. I'm just wondering if it is important enough for the board to consider putting that money back into the budget for officers. I've worked for the county for about 13 years, and it's been 8 years. 8 years since I've had a raise. 8 years. The cost of living has gone up, but I believe that I do a job that is necessary for the county, but I am underpaid. This is the largest county in the state of Wisconsin with the most inmates, but we are the most underpaid in the county. And I just want the board to think about giving correctional officers, Milwaukee County correctional officers, a raise in 2019.
Patricia McManus, followed by Paul Mozina.
Good evening. My name is Dr. Patricia McManus. I'm president and CEO of the Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin. I'm here to speak about the job lines, the fact that we, MICA, and the Black Health Coalition did sue for having transit out to places where people in our communities can go. I was born and raised here in Milwaukee, got my first introduction to transportation when my father's house was taken by eminent domain to have I-43 go through. As a child, I'm trying to understand why they're doing that. What's going on? I'm still a little confused about why things aren't happening the way they should. When we look at what's going on within our community, Milwaukee, regional Milwaukee, it's not by happenstance that this city does not have a regional transit system. It's very clear that for many reasons, people of color, people who are poor, are kind of trapped in Milwaukee. Does it mean that they cannot do a good job? Absolutely not. It means that there are biases that occur that you really wonder how people think about that. But I'm a health person. The health of people in that community depends on them having jobs, depends on them able to take care of their families. So I'm asking you to consider, we would love the $14 million that the BRT doesn't want. We'll take it, okay? And actually, when I think about it, a rapid transit system back and forth out of Menominee Falls might be the best thing that would help a lot of what we're talking about. So please consider, it never occurred to us when we did this 4 or 5 years ago that we would do this for 4 years and it would be gone. I'm very disappointed that there hasn't been some kind of plan to continue this because it does serve a multiple purpose in improving the health and the mindsets of people who work in very unfortunate conditions. So thank you.
Paul Mozina, followed by Patricia Rogers.
Hello, supervisors. County exec, I hope you're still here. I
gave you all a homework assignment up there. I hope we'll do a test at the next board meeting. And I got one more assignment for you, and I'm asking you to read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. And if you've already read it, read it again. I've been through it a couple times, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because we all talk about shared revenue and trying to get more money, and I'm advocating a budget strategy that would save money, and that would be to stop spending money on the war on drugs. At the municipal level, the county level, the state level, and the federal level, we're wasting billions of dollars incarcerating people. And I wanted to mention one thing about Michelle Alexander's book, a point that she doesn't bring out. She talks about the evolution of slavery to the new to the old Jim Crow and to mass incarceration, the new Jim Crow. And she attributes the beginning of mass incarceration to the war on drugs. That's what she explicitly calls out. And there's one analogy, one corollary between those three things that she doesn't bring out in the book. And the first is that slavery, the right of property in man, is repugnant to human nature. It's repugnant to natural law. It was never legal. It was implemented by violence and coercion, and thank God it's over. Thank God. The next thing that came was the new Jim Crow. The old Jim Crow, pardon me. Black man's got to be back home before sun goes down. Can you imagine anything more abhorrent to the human nature to have one person claiming the right to tell another person when they need to go to bed? The old Jim Crow was repugnant to human nature, it was repugnant to natural law, and thank God it was finally canceled. Unfortunately, the damage, severe damage, was done by the segregation and discrimination that was implemented then. And so we come now to the current day. We're dealing with mass incarceration. And what is the premise of the mass incarceration? It's the war on drugs. That's what Michelle Alexander brings out. And what is the war on drugs? It's nothing but the state claiming the authority to tell you what you can inoffensively possess and consume. Now, if I talked to Chris and I said, Chris, you can't have that Snickers bar, or if I said to Supreme, I said, put that yogurt down, brother. I mean, one person does not have the right to tell another person what they can inoffensively possess and consume. And I'm almost done. And so for the state to assert that right is repugnant to human nature. It's repugnant to natural law. And that's why the war on drugs is doomed to failure. We're wasting billions of dollars on the war on drugs at every level of government. I'm going to ask you to go to your Intergovernmental Relations Division. Thank you, sir. And let's get another resolution, like the Fair Deal. Let's have a fair deal for the human race and stop incarcerating them for making a decision about what they want to put in their bodies. Thank you.
Okay. Patricia Rogers, followed by Ms. Rose. Patricia?
Oh, boy. Hi, Patricia Rogers. I'm the president of Local 645, who District Council 32. They represent social workers, professionals, attorneys in Milwaukee County. And I, too, am here to speak about establishing a workshop, a work group, to include representatives from employee labor organizations to draft and establish an impartial, effective, and viable process for the resolution of disputes surrounding unreasonable working conditions, abuses of managerial authority, and appeal of unjust disciplinary actions. Milwaukee County should not wait to address these poor working conditions until a biannual employee survey, which goes into some black hole somewhere. They do this biannual survey, and they ask everyone, and in some departments they require that you do it. You can't; it's not an option. A proactive dispute resolution process would promote timely solutions to on-the-job issues as they arise. The passage of Act 10 was often justified by stating that public employees would have a viable grievance process to resolve disputes. After nearly 8 years, Milwaukee County has made little progress in this regard. Dangerous, discriminatory, or hostile working environments can result in complaints filed with other regulators. triggering legal and administrative costs for Milwaukee County. An effective process of resolving these issues in a timely manner would save the county these costs. The existing process for the resolution of disputes result in no action. The Personnel Review Board and Civil Service Commission often do not accept jurisdiction over these disputes. The crack in the system needs to be addressed by an independent authority charged with jurisdiction to hear disputes. Employees deserve the right to be heard. Under the present system, employees can be suspended for 10 days or less and have no right of appeal. Institution of an appeal process would allow for a review of proposed suspensions to ensure appropriate and justified levels of discipline are being dispensed. Improving employee morale and reducing the high turnover rates that we see these days requires that Milwaukee County become more responsive and balanced in its approach toward employer-employee relations. A proper dispute resolution process opens dialogue and promotes positive relationship with staff that provides essential public services to all of the constituents in Milwaukee County. So I'm asking that a work group be established that is fair and impartial and gives both sides just outcomes.
Thank you.
Ms. Rose, followed by Gary Petrosky.
If speakers would just keep be mindful of the time and look to the clerk's office to assist if you're wondering where you're at.
You always do that when I come up. My thing is an audit needs to be taken of the transit company because the problem that we have is not so much the money as it is utilizing the priorities and where the money is going. Right now there's a big discriminatory factor that's entering in our city. The black community gets a shaft. You talk about benefits. Thank you. You talk about redesigning routes and benefits, but it's not in our community. Those redesigning routes are in the white community. And I got all documentation on to show how the routes are good for the white community, but when it comes to black community, they change the route so that we might have to go two or three buses in order to get to the same place we only had to go one bus on. Now, when I was the treasurer of the League of Women Voters, I was always at the table. For some reason, when I was I used to get information about the changes, and I would share my information in logic. But they don't want logic, because it seems though they want to maintain the money that's coming in, going to the white community, and we're getting the shaft. And that's no way of looking at it. But when you look at how the routes are made and how the times in between time, they talk about 15 minutes. That's bullying. It is not 15 minutes. It's 20 and 30 minutes. In the white community, it's 10 to 15 minutes. We have maybe one bus that might go periodically after a certain time if it's much longer. This is why it's very important that we get more input from the community when we start making changes on the routes. Because the people that are doing these routes have never ridden buses, number one. I've ridden almost every bus in the city of Milwaukee and outside of Milwaukee. And I can understand when they're not connecting in the black community. They're only connecting basically the benefits to the white community, because I've been doing my own little thing on it. And I think we need to start getting back to the truth. We need to audit on separate the bus company from the transportation company, because from the transportation points, because the bus is an entirely separate entity. And when you put them together, you can put all the money that should go to the buses to everybody else. And that's what I think the problem is at this point, is cleaning the highways. Have a nice day.
Okay. Joyce Elwanger, followed by Joseph Elwanger.
Hi there. I'm representing Micah, and I'm going to do my ask first because I'm not sure I can get through all this, and I want you to hear it clearly. What we're asking you to do is to restore funding for a job lines bus into Waukesha County for 2019. And that you ask the Regional Transit Leadership Council and Sewer PAC to develop a plan quickly for joint funding of the jobs line beyond 2019 and for hopefully a portion of 2019 as well. The cost to run Route 61 or 5722 that has also been recommended into Waukesha County for 2019 is about $1.5 million. But the cost to the inner city black bus riders who will lose their jobs if transportation into Waukesha is eliminated is incalculable in terms of the barriers to finding employment and family supporting jobs. And the increased cost to you will be social services that will need to be provided. We know the importance of jobs for workers, and MICA is currently working collaboratively on an initiative to bring 250 additional transitional jobs to Milwaukee for disadvantaged workers. MICA sees the budget as a moral document. It speaks to who and what we value. The jobs line route has helped to open a door into Waukesha County that is not only providing desperately needed family-supporting jobs for inner city black workers, it's also helping dismantle racial stereotypes about the value and reliability of those workers and those invisible but real walls that divide us. Job lines is a door through those walls. It's only a toe in the door, really, but it's a beginning. Don't slam the door in the faces of those determined young black workers and their employers. Let them know you share our belief that black lives matter. Paul Decker is the chair of the Waukesha County Board, an important player in all of this, and he's also the chair of the Regional Transit Leadership Council, which is full of movers and shakers who share a renewed vision of a regional transit system funded by public and private partnership. Why not ask them to help develop a public-private partnership model between Milwaukee and Waukesha to take over funding the jobs line for the future? And Sewer PAC has already developed the larger transit vision that job lines addresses. So again, our ask to you is restore funding for the jobs lines into Waukesha County for 2019 and get the help of these experts who've been working on this for years to develop a public-private partnership with Waukesha County.
Okay, Joseph Elwanger followed by Sally Callen.
Joe Elwanger with MICA and also chair of the Transitional Jobs Collaborative of Milwaukee. My wife and I get along together very well, and I support her position 100%. And so does MICA. And the point that I want to make is that this is no small deal. Everybody in Milwaukee County wants to see violence go down, poverty go down, and how are we going to do that? Mass incarceration, we want that to be lower as well and removed. Jobs are really critical to bringing down poverty and violence and mass incarceration. And job fairs don't cut it for the people who are in the pockets of 20%, 30%, 40% unemployment in Milwaukee's central city. These are people with barriers to employment who think they never would get a job. We have found in the Transitional Jobs Collaborative that people actually come out of the woodwork and even from the underground economy to get a job at $7.25, $8.25 an hour, because they figure that getting a job experience on my record, I might be able to get a good job and a family-supporting job. And the job lines to Waukesha and the job lines to Menominee Falls and transitional jobs are helping to bring down violence, bring down recidivism, bring down poverty, and build our community, and that's something that we all want. And so this is no small matter, it is a big matter, and that's why MICA supports it, and that's why the Milwaukee Transitional Jobs Collaborative says, work hard. Little clue, postscript. We want our parks to do better. Milwaukee County might consider the possibility of getting some of the transitional jobs as a way to move forward the parks and jobs, just as the city has picked up the transitional jobs and gotten people into good permanent employment. It is something that we can work on if we have a vision and if we are willing to work that vision.
Okay, Sally Callen, followed by Roger Kowicki.
Hello, my name is Sally Callen, and I want to thank the County Executive and the County Board of Supervisors for bringing us together. I've been to other meetings where I've always felt stressed. I realize there's stress everywhere, but I think what you've offered us now, and we're all willing to work with you, is this fair deal. I am on the board of the Friends of Lincoln Park, so I've worked with the parks. I'm also on the board of Foundry Food Center, and I've worked with you on the Winter Farmers Market. I'm also on the board of the Hunger Task Force, and I work with you on the farm. Thinking of ways that bring quality of jobs, quality of life, health to our communities, you're doing it. And what you need is to make sure you call all of us as your partners to help make this fair deal work. We've been waiting a very long time, had an awful lot of sad meetings, an awful lot of disappointments, and an awful lot of delayed and deferred maintenance. It's written on my wall probably 25 years. You know, it's been there a long time. It's got to come down. So I just thank you. I can't say enough that it really matters that we're all here, that we're all looking forward. That's the Wisconsin motto. We ought to remember that. So, thank you.
Does Roger Kowicki wish to speak? Roger, no. Shirley Moffitt, followed by Dr. Philip Blank.
My name is not Shirley. I am Philip Blank, President Emeritus of the Milwaukee Public Enterprise Committee, which was co-founded by the late Frank Zeidler half year before he became our mayor. Frank Zeidler was a great mentor to me, and I learned a lot about our county park system. And I have a great fear, as an amateur futurist, I have a great fear that one day there will be decisions made to sell the parks because they can't afford to pay for the deferred maintenance or capital improvements. I have seen one experience in my lifetime, and most of you weren't born then, so I'm not laying it on you. I worked about two blocks from the work on the MacArthur Park. And there was a small park, a very small park, on West State Street. I believe it was called, it was named after the courthouse, Courthouse Park. And, of course, the workers had to have a place to park their cars, and that became a muddy slough. And we were assured that that park would be resurrected. And I think we're all familiar with the building that is on that site. If it is at all possible, I don't know how covenants come about, but I would really like to see the county develop a covenant to keep our parks forever in the public realm. I'm glad to be participating in democracy. I'm sure all of you have voted or will vote. For the sake of democracy, I hope you can get many people out. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Just to make sure, Shirley Moffitt is not here.
Shirley? Okay. Then we'll move to Kenneth Greening, followed by Bruce Colburn. Kenneth, go ahead, sir.
Okay, sorry. Kenneth Greening, Vice President of Public Enterprise Committee. Mayor Frank Zeiler, he founded the county parks and county transportation system, and we want to keep them public. We also want our public employees to fund or to work in these county parks and county transportation system and get them equitable and family-funded wages. We need no privateers to get and buy our parks because they're unaccountable. And we need our public parks for our kids to play in them free and in eternity. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce Colburn, followed by Steve Turner.
Is it all right? I brought my chair up here just in case you don't agree. I'm going to throw it at you. Just kidding. I support the job lines that have been talked about a lot today, and it's important to understand that this recommendation to cut service is not just about transportation. It's been said again and again. It's about family-supporting job. It's about breaking down the segregation and racism and poverty that will kill Milwaukee if we don't change and change soon. It's about when you have a program that works, you think you'd want to double down. You think you'd want to do more of it. You think you want to build off of it, and that's what we should do about this program. In the 1980s, I was a Milwaukee County bus driver a long time ago. I was president of the union. We faced a similar dilemma. In fact, the then county executive marched in unannounced to a union meeting and got up and said to the workers, if you don't cut services, if you don't raise the fares, there's going to be no more raises for you. And in fact, maybe you'll have to lose jobs. And that day, the answer from our members was clear and loud. We will fight for our riders, we will fight for our members, and we will not see our system destroyed. That day, we launched a real campaign in the community and state to save our transit system and the people's future that goes with it. We fought, and we fought, and we fought at the state, and we won, and we better be prepared to do that again in this conversation that started today. So let's make that pledge tonight that we fight for more transit to places like Foxconn, that we fight for a system that doesn't just stay the same but grows again, that we fight for a system that's regional and where people can get to the jobs. Let's stand with the workers of this community. Giving to these cuts, giving into these cuts, is exactly the wrong thing. It only means more cuts, higher fares, the state of Wisconsin marching over us. That's the way, and that's the way to make that statement. Vote yes on the amendment to fully fund this transit and these jobs now.
Yeah. Okay. Steve Turner, followed by Brent Holmes.
Hi, my name is Steve Turner, and I work for the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. I'm a correction officer. You see all those things of gumballs up there? She said it was 900. We got more people in the jail than 900. Yep, more than those gumballs, so you can give them to me. A couple of reasons why I'm coming up here to talk to you today is about the reasons that we want a raise in the jail and at the House of Correction. I'm speaking for both places as correction officers. Because probably those gumballs, nope, those are people in jail. They're 24/7. We're an essential public safety commodity, right? We're there every day. We're 20 Christmas, while you eating your turkey. Thanksgiving, while eating your ham, we there. Okay? We signed up for it, but it's been 8 years. I started in 1990 at the House of Correction. I've been doing this a long time. And in the last 8 years, no raise. You did get that 1%, though. You remember that 1%? Yeah, I know. Look. Right. That's what happened. It went nowhere. You sucked it up with the dental. You sucked it up with health. You sucked it up with the payback to the pension portion. That's okay. I like the pension. Hey, look, hey, but every time you give me a raise, you're going to raise something else. It's a wash. Mandatory overtime. Employee turnover. Hey, man, we turn over a lot. You know, it's people that can't be here today because they at work, because they got mandatory. I know, you don't know nothing about mandatory. But we do. It's a real deal for us. I mean, it happens a lot. The other thing we kind of want to talk about is vacancies. We're just constantly filling positions because there's turnovers. Retention. Hey, man, we're the lowest paid correction officers, not in the county, in the state. But where do you think the inmates are coming from? We're the biggest city. That 1,000, remember? Yeah, I know, I started off with that. But you know what? Waukesha, they start. I've been in corrections since 1990. I'm at 2157. They started 2249. You understand? So the guy that just got there 2 weeks ago, I might make $2.50 more than him. That's ridiculous. Right? It's true. It's okay. It's true, though. I know. I see you said stop, but I'm going to go one more time. All right. The other things is they actually pointed out, somebody else pointed out, the appeal process. You know what? Because I'm vice president of the union and chief steward, I'm standing there with these officers that have been mandatory, that their child is sick, they're at home with their child, they go to the hospital with their child, so they're late, or they don't come at all. It's because you have to make a decision between work, that's that holiday, work and your child. But at the same time, they suspend you for 10 days, and you don't even get a chance to talk to nobody about it. Nothing. You don't even get a chance to say, hey, man, my kid was sick. They don't even care. Here's your 10 days. Beat it. Thank you. Have a nice
day. Brent Holmes, followed by Brittany Brabane.
Thank you, County Executive, Mr. Chair, and Board Supervisors, for providing this forum today in which the people directly impacted by your budget decisions can have a voice to express to you our thoughts on the proposed 2019 Milwaukee County budget. My name is Brent Holmes. I'm a proud Milwaukee County resident for all of my life, and I'm here today as the president of the McKinley Boat Owners Association, which is a tenant advocacy group for the slip tenants of McKinley Marina Basin. The 2019 budget suggests a slip fee increase of 2%, which has been relayed to us verbally, but is not in writing or printed in the released budget. The McKinley Boat Owners Association is against this increase and any other, and when the money generated from the marina cannot have at least a small portion retained by the marina and the Parks Department to combat the Milwaukee Parks Department's never-ending budget of deferred maintenance. The marina and the parks in general fund so much of Milwaukee County as one of the few money-making arms of county government apart from tax revenue. If the county wishes the parks to be able to continue to meet revenue goals, it must be allowed to reinvest in its properties and infrastructure to ensure they have a product to build revenue from in the future. I do not envy the task ahead of you in balancing this budget, but I do trust you to make the right decision for today and for the future generations. Trust that you will strive to find those creative solutions that fund the parks and eliminate the need for deferred maintenance. And trust that you will reinvest in our parks and the marina to make them the jewels that they should be. Thank you for your time today.
Brittany Verbonik, followed by Esperanza Garcia-Mendez.
Good evening. My name is Brittany Verbanek, and I'm here tonight to show support for the UW Extension Program and to share what a positive impact the program has made at my elementary school. I am a kindergarten teacher in West Allis at Wilson Elementary School. For the past 5 years, I have ran the Wilson Elementary Garden Club. The club is an after-school club with over 90 student members in our club, ranging from kindergarten through fourth grade. Each year, the UW Extension Program donates materials, plants, seeds, and their expertise to help teach students about gardening at our school. Their support has given our club so many opportunities and has allowed us to expand and provide vegetables and fruit to members of our club and our school, all the students and staff, to take home. They have also brought many creative projects to our club that the children really enjoy. The UW Extension Program also runs 3 sessions at our yearly high-interest day. They supply all the things that the sessions need and a staff leader to run the session and teach the expertise. Students are able to learn about planting, plant their own plants, and take their plants home because of their program. On behalf of the kids in our garden club, the kids at our school, and all the other schools the UW Extension Program supports, please continue to fund their program. Their program allows the kids of today to learn how to provide and to get food for their families and for themselves. Thank you very much.
Esperanza Garcia Mendez, followed by Regina Harmon.
Hi, my name is Esperanza Garcia Mendez, and I'm a retired public health nurse with the city of Milwaukee. I'm a lifelong resident of the city, and in the past, I helped take care of my parents so that they could stay home in their own homes. And recently, my husband had a stroke, and so now I help him stay home and not be a burden to others. I attend the UW Extension Strong Bodies program, and it helps me to stay healthy and strong so that I can assist him and we can manage together instead of depending on my adult children or neighbors or other family members. So I really appreciate the program. It's helped me to keep certain principles in mind so that I can then persist and persevere with staying in our community and being contributing members as well as, you know, having a wonderful retirement together. So I just wanted to thank you for supporting those programs that help our community stay healthy.
Regina Harmon, followed by Bill Sell.
I just want to speak briefly about this this transportation thing. There's young people in my district. There's young people in my district, which is Glendale, and I lived in Glendale since 1992. And these young people in Glendale need jobs, too. I just recently told a young man who's out of the Army, if he can find 4 people, I'll take them out to Sussex. Sussex has jobs. They have Amazon Distribution Center that's looking for workers. They have another place that makes food for the outpost that needs workers, and they pay about $12 an hour. And there are some jobs in Sussex, Wisconsin, and we need transportation to get people from wherever they come from, whatever municipality, and to get out there and get these jobs. Because with jobs, you eliminate, hopefully, a little bit of poverty. I see the poverty rate in Wisconsin is about 11% now. And we could do better just by getting people to these jobs. Thank you.
Bill Sell, followed by David Bowen.
I'm Bill Sell, and I'm speaking for Joblines. Hello to my esteemed representatives of local government. We love you. Milwaukee is experiencing new growth downtown, and I've had a ringside seat through my office window. Across the street from me, I witnessed a 5-story new building, not a skyscraper, but daily views of construction recruited me to watch. As the building topped off at 5 and a roof, I witnessed workers walking girders attached to a life-saving cable, and each of them had a hard hat. Even the workers down below had hard hats. Even if one essential tool was a clipboard, he or she had a hard hat. There were no exceptions. Now, consider the job openings in neighborhoods with exclusionary zoning. I could not afford to live there. Many workers cannot afford to live there, but they have to ride a bus that takes some of them 2 or more hours a day from the family and off the time clock. Is not the bus a tool for the job? Can we continue to pretend that commuting is your responsibility, but zoning laws for factories, offices, and spacious residential housing are none of your business? Would you put a carpenter to work and say, hey, we ran out of hammers, use a brick? Would you put an architect to work and say, hey, we ran out of 100-foot rulers, use your stride? That bus is an essential tool for the job, essential to modern life as a hard hat. Getting to work on time and back home in time for dinner is as much a part of a job as the work itself. Thank you.
Okay. David Bowen, followed by Derek Murray. Do not see David. Derek Murray.
Hi, I'm Derek Murray. I work as a corrections officer at the county jail with Steve Turner. I represent corrections, files, correction, and the county jail. I'm here to put a personal number on why we need raises. 2008, I was making whatever. Now I make more, but my take home is $150 less. So for the past 8 years, I've been taking home $150 less than what I was making with $18.85 an hour. That's the necessary reason for the raises. That's why we need this. I'm blessed. I have a wife. She works. Dual income family. What about those single? What about those that are dealing with the overtime? Single parents. All these things that we have to deal with as stress, we've waited 8 years. I've waited 8 years. Now I'm asking. Do the right thing. Vote for the raise.
Mr. Chairman, I do not have any more blue comment cards.
All right. Is there anyone else whose name has not been called who thinks they filled out a card or who wishes to be heard? Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? I'm sorry. If you would step up to the mic, make sure you fill out a card. Okay. If you make sure we get you recorded after you speak.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My name is Cynthia Greenwood. I'm with Collision for Justice, better known as Dontre Hamilton, Black Lives Matter, Seville Smith. I'm here to talk about our transit. Please don't cut anymore. The transit system is running poorly as it is. Unfortunately for me, I'm stuck taking public transportation right now because I don't drive. The buses are very filthy. People are on there urinating, spitting, drinking beer, cussing out the drivers. The drivers can't pull off half the time because they have to wait for people to put their fare in. People are sleeping on the bus. So I waited an hour and a half one day for a bus. Most times I'm waiting a half hour to an hour, so I usually leave. If I have to be somewhere at 7, I leave about maybe 6, maybe 5:30 in the morning to get to work. Okay, now I want to talk about the park system. Our parks, the two parks that I have been having a problem with is the Mitchell Park Domes Park and Clark Square. We have drug addicts in there, and we have sex offenders trying to pick up children. The reason I noticed, Chairman, is because we did a benefit, a fundraiser for people with super disabilities. I'm sorry. We had young children in there and adults, family. All of a sudden, we look out the window. Here we have fire department pulling up because people are in the parks shooting up drugs. So this is a problem there. I've been working with Mr. Abley's office about the Clark Square Park, and they've been very helpful with me. I understand that Miss, I can't pronounce her name, is my supervisor for 4th District. I don't know how to contact you, and I probably should, so I apologize for that. But I've been having a problem with 27th and National, all up and down, prostitution, drugs, homeless, panhandling. It's so bad. You want to talk about quality of life? You guys may not live in that area, but I do, and I don't like it. I've worked with 2nd District. I get nowhere with them. Donovan, I get nowhere with. So the alderman that I really love, who I think should be in charge of public safety, is Alderman Perez. It's not his district, but he bends over back here helping me. The mayor's office helps me, a man named Nick. I have pictures, ma'am, if you'd like to see, of the filth in the bus shelters there. And now they're tearing down our bus shelters more and more. I just noticed on 22nd and National, they tear down another bus shelter. I'm going to hurry up. And
if you're looking for contact information for any supervisor, again, there's contact information.
Right. I'll find that out. I do want to talk about the mass incarceration, which is very horrifying. Most of our young men and boys that are in there are black males. Talking about overpay, these men that are and women who are working in our jails and correctional prisons are forced to do overtime. I'm also hearing now that because of the overtime they're doing, it's becoming unsafe for the guards and the prisoners. Most of the correctional officers, if they are not Caucasian, are not Afro-American. They are very racist. And this has been said to me over and over. And a lot of the men in these prisons fear for their safety. We have the highest mass incarceration in Wisconsin, and it's horrifying. But thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Could you be sure to fill out a card, ma'am, for the record? All right, is there anyone else who wishes to be heard? Anyone else who wishes to be heard? All right, if no one else wishes to be heard, that concludes the public hearing. Final order of business is adjournment. First Vice Chairwoman Nicholson.
I move adjournment to Thursday, November 1st, 2018 at 9:30 a.m. And as a reminder, the annual meeting on budget adoption is on Monday, November 5th, 2018 at 9:30 a.m. Have a good evening.
Very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Meeting is adjourned.